Welcome to MSP 1337. I'm your host, Chris Johnson, a show dedicated to cybersecurity challenges, solutions, a journey together, not alone.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of MSP 1337. I'm joined this week by Nick Wolf of Cork. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So this episode topic is one of our more unique, as some of you have come to know it, that when I do an episode that is tied or has a vendor involved, it's usually because it stands out from the crowd. We were talking about this before. If we were talking about MFA or least privileged access, there's say 10 or 15 vendors that are playing in the space. And today we're talking about sort of the space that Cork plays in, which is very unique because there really aren't a lot of vendors. In fact, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not aware of any vendors besides Cork that play in the space of, say, gap coverage, which would be similar to like the Aflac is to medical coverage, or maybe a warranty is with regards to car insurance. Actually, that's probably not a good comparison because usually you have a warranty and your insurance is for when bad things happen, like you crash. So I want to cover a couple things I think that are really important for our audience. And one of them is the tricky space that is insurance. And I think you mentioned this before we talked on the show. And so we'll just start with the first one. You know, talk to me about why it's important to have cybersecurity insurance and then where sort of Cork plays into that for those that maybe can't afford that premium, or how some of those pieces work. So that, like you said, I thought it was a good analogy is, you know, Cork provides like the check engine light on your dash for a car. Obviously, your car insurance probably isn't covering you necessarily for a check engine light unless you're still in that warranty period. But I guess in your case, you're saying like, hey, like we're that third party warranty. So if the check engine light does come on, you should do something about it because there's coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. So Cork offers a cyber warranty that MSPs could resell to their end users or customers without needing a brokerage license. Cork could be an alternative to cyber insurance, but ideally this is going to be supplemental coverage to cyber insurance. Sure. Because every small business out there should have cyber insurance. Absolutely, right. Period, end of discussion.
Right. We're not proposing you don't, but unfortunately, I was going. Go ahead.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, about a third of small businesses are actually denied cyber insurance coverage. They can't even qualify for that. And about a third of those that do have some form of cyber insurance ultimately ends up getting those claims denied, which is kind of lousy. Cyber insurance is a great start for any organization, but we've also seen things like high deductibles with cyber insurance and insurance premiums increasing year over year.
You also see the categories that get broken down and suddenly you only have coverage for $50,000 in PR or $100,000 in whatever the category might be. And you're like, yay, so I have this great $2 million policy and I only get to use $100,000 of it.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if you've ever been through a cybersecurity insurance questionnaire. They're getting longer. They're getting more complex. 10 years ago, it was, do you have antivirus? All right, check that box. Great, you qualify for it. Now it's, right, do you have EDR, MDR, XDR, and MFA? And if a train is leaving Chicago at 2 miles an hour and it's trying to meet up with a train in New York at 50 miles an hour, when do they meet? Like, some of these questionnaires are so complex to fill out. It takes MSPs a lot of time, and it sort of put MSPs in an awkward spot with cyber insurance because they're not the ones that are reselling insurance. And in most cases, because you need a brokerage license to do that. In most cases, it's the end user customer that's dealing directly with the insurance provider or broker. But the MSP is involved to some extent filling out or helping those clients fill out those cybersecurity questionnaire forms. But where's the MSP making money during that process? You know, typically they're helping out their clients. They're trying to be a nice guy and they might be filling out those cybersecurity questionnaires pro bono, but they're not actually making any money. That's sort of where a cyber warranty comes into place, at least the one with Cork. Is this is now a new revenue stream for MSPs because they could still provide financial coverage to their clients just like a cyber insurance would, but this is something they can now resell to their customers at a fraction of the cost of cyber insurance. So really opening it up for those SMBs that might not have been able to qualify for cyber insurance
sure.
in the first place or afford it.
So let me ask a loaded question, because I can see another side of this coin where it's like, maybe I require, or maybe it's included in what I position with my clients, because now when something does happen, I have some financial, you know, recourse for covering us to help get them back online where they may, like a client saying like, yeah, we don't have the budget for, you know, 11 new workstations that are totally hosed and wait for forensics to do their investigation. You're like, well, that's going to be a problem, because we're not going to just go and buy you 10 computers and hope that you someday have the money to pay us. But the flip side of that, if you have something like, say, Cork in place, then in theory, you could leverage that to pay for that. Or is it more of like, it's their, the client has this policy, not the MSP has the policy? Granted, the MSP can sell it, but I mean, how does that work?
Yeah. So we want to remove the liability from the MSP. So the MSP is the one that's going to be reselling it, but the liability is going to be on the end user's shoulders. So our agreement is with the end user directly. But again, we're not selling to the end user, because we're sure. a channel company. We're only facilitating it through the MSPs.
So does the client see the dashboard? Like, does client Acme Corporation see that the check engine light's on and they're like, hey, Mr. MSP, I've got a check engine light on?
They could if they want to, but most of the time it's the MSP that's going to be monitoring it for them, because what we're doing, having an inside-out approach, is we're integrating with the API tools from the MSP's cyber tech stack. And sure. we try to be vendor agnostic, so we don't care if you're using Ninja RMM or Data RMM or Kaseya, or if it's Huntress EDR or SentinelOne. Like, we really integrate with all the providers of an MSP's cyber tech stack, and that's where we're able to alert the MSPs if, hey, when we sold you the warranty, SentinelOne was turned on, and for some reason, SentinelOne just got turned off right now. You're now in a lapse of coverage. You want to turn SentinelOne back on. That way, if there's an attack, we could still pay you. So it's designed to be more proactive here. That way, we could pay out the clients in real time without any sort of lengthy audit period. Because that's another thing that we've noticed with cyber insurance is that, you know, typically end users might have to wait several weeks or several months to settle a claim and get that financial payout. Whereas sure. with a warranty, we're able to position it where we could pay out the client in a matter of hours.
Gotcha. So in the event that you catch my Sentinel or fill in the blank XDR, because we used a lot of letters a little bit ago.
Yep.
So my XDR has just gone offline and that gets flagged by Cork and you're letting me know. And I go to investigate and I discover that none of my devices have it anymore, and they all have gone offline because they've all just been hit with ransomware. How does that work? Because technically, it caught it in the dashboard. Sentinel's no longer here. I'm no longer actively covered.
Yeah. Great question. So we do offer a protective gap period. So once we alert you, you have 48 hours as the MSP to remediate that gap before there's a lapse of coverage. But if it's within that 48-hour period, you're still going to get covered by Cork, because that's a real cyber incident that's happening. I mean,
it's cyber, right? It's not going to take 48 hours if they're being hit, right? Like, it's
yeah.
Got it. So along those same lines, you know, we've kind of talked through, you know, where Cork sits in the equation and some of the challenges. I think we should spend some more time on the challenges that not just MSPs are facing, but clients as a whole when it comes to understanding coverage. Like, you know, you mentioned the questionnaires are getting longer and longer, and the questions themselves in some cases aren't necessarily very clear. You know, do you have MFA turned on? And obviously it's written as a yes, no question. And yet when you look closely at it, it's like across all systems is what it's implying. And oh, by the way, these four safeguards and whatever framework it is are implied that you've satisfied as well. Are you seeing the ability to like help MSPs and their clients navigate this space? Because obviously you said this at the beginning, you know, the goal here isn't to be like, hey, instead of getting insurance, use us, because we know, and you said this, like, I think it's like, you know, to be able to cover your deductible is a big deal, especially on larger and larger claims. You know, the deductibles keep going up and I don't foresee them going back down. Do you have a path or a strategy around how to help clients and their MSP, or if they are the MSP, and helping their clients with regards to like, hey, what'd you answer in the questionnaire? Like, what are the things? Because I see where this goes. I see an insurance company saying, if you don't have Cork installed on your system, then we don't pay out claims.
Yeah. So we've seen plenty of cyber insurance questionnaires, and all cyber insurance questionnaires are different, but we've seen that in general, they're very vague, and they're vague on purpose. Cause again, at the end of the day, they don't want to pay out the claims, right? Like that's their business
model. Well, they also don't want to not sell a policy.
Yeah. So that's where it gets tricky. What I will say is this: what makes Cork unique, and the reason why we don't send out a 50-page security questionnaire or anything complex like that, is we don't really need to ask those questions because we know the answers to begin with.
And even if you did it, once we install the agent, we're going to start seeing the truth.
Yeah. Well, with us, there's not even an agent that needs to be done. It's all done through the API keys of an MSP's tech stack. So okay. I don't have to go to the client and go, do you have EDR? Check that box. Do you have MFA? Check that box. Because I'm tying into the MFA API, whether it's Duo or someone else. I'm tying into the API of SentinelOne or what, insert EDR. You're vendor.
Essentially like another user profile, if you will, API inside like my 365 or...
Exactly. I don't have to ask you if you have EDR turned on, because me as your warranty provider, I know that EDR is turned on. I see it over there. But what I could do is I could also alert the MSP to potential gaps. Hey, client XYZ has 55 endpoints of Ninja RMM installed, but only 48 of those endpoints have Bitdefender turned on for EDR. What happened to those other 7 endpoints? You might have forgot to do it, forgot to install.
Sure.
Some MSPs have told us, well, like, wow, yeah, you're right. I forgot to install it there.
So even in the not so negative space of like also the opportunity of like, we are paying for licenses or not paying for licenses on endpoints that we're not leveraging the product.
Yeah. It's crazy what our warranty platform has visibility into. Like the other day when the ConnectWise Screen Connect had that issue, we were able to easily find out, hey, there's a couple endpoints on your infrastructure that have the old version of Screen Connect. You want to get that patched. You want to get that fixed.
Right. Right. And I mean, speaking of Screen Connect, I mean, it's, you know, the week, I don't even know like where this came out 4 days ago, 5 days ago, like that. Yep. It was something like, and all of a sudden we're not just seeing like how big a deal this is. Like we saw the stuff out from Huntress and also from ConnectWise. And then of course, you know, I don't want to say they're late to the party, but then Bleeping Computer had a, you know, great article write up on it and all the things that you need to do. What I found most interesting was that the thousands of endpoints that are still impacted are largely tied to servers that are not part of the cloud stack. It's that the legacy, and I feel like we've heard this before, like a pattern of like, hey, you're still running your server on your on-prem environment. Do you guys see challenges there with infrastructure that, you know, quite honestly, the vendors have moved away from really being pushing, you know, hey, if you want our services, you have two options, cloud or on-prem. It's really anymore. It's like we have the cloud version. The only ones running the on-prem edition are the ones that came in, you know, they're like legacy clients, right? Yep. You see a lot of that?
We do. Legacy is the key word. So like, for example, when we were reaching out to our Cork MSP saying, hey, make sure you patch your Screen Connect. We're seeing some issues on the Cork side of things. We had some MSPs going, oh, no need. No need. I've never sold Screen Connect to my client. Well, it turns out that this client in particular had a previous MSP, and that previous MSP used Screen Connect, and it was still installed on a couple of those endpoints.
Man, I wonder, never heard that before, ever. Yeah. Like, what do you mean there's three different RMM tools on the client endpoint that are not tied to the current MSP? Yeah, that never happens. So, So obviously you guys are growing really fast. Do you have goals to see Cork in other spaces besides where you're at today? I mean, I can see a lot of things that could be of value with a tool or a resource like that that's giving me visibility into what is or isn't happening in an environment.
Yeah. So again, we're always going to be a channel focused company. I mean, heck, even our founder is Austin McCord, the same guy who founded Datto. So like we were built around MSPs from day one. And that's our model. And we see ourselves working more closely to other MSP vendors in the space. Last year, we announced a strategic partnership with Barracuda Networks. So you could get Cork through Barracuda. Earlier this year, we announced a partnership with LionGuard, and there might be some other announcements coming soon in the pipeline as well.
So really your goal is to increase not necessarily the products that you have visibility to, that's kind of a byproduct of what you're doing, but really to make it that it's an easy path to get to Cork through whatever venue you might already
We want to make it as easy as possible for an MSP to buy Cork, regardless of what tech stack they use. If you're a Connect shop, great. A Datto shop, fine. Barracuda shop, fine. Because what a lot of MSPs are doing is, you know, in PCH Technologies, our buddy Tim in New Jersey, the way that he's positioning it to his clients of his MSP is he's actually bundling it in with his tech stack, right?
Yeah, I kind of wondered about doing that myself, and I'm not an MSP.
Yeah, I am so confident in the tech stack that I've designed for you, Mr. Customer, that I'm going to back it by a $500,000 warranty. So it creates more stickiness there. That way clients don't nitpick and go, well, you're recommending Sentinel One, but I like Malwarebytes. You're recommending Duo and I like Okta. It's, hey, this is the tech stack. This is what my team knows. And I'm so confident in it. I'm giving you a $500,000 cyber warranty partnered by Cork if you go with this tech stack.
So you see a lot of MSPs in this space where they have, you know, 10 or 15 clients that are, say, they're elite clients. They have everything that we could ever want to put on their environment. But then you have other clients, maybe you inherit them and you realize like, hey, we're not going to just suddenly swap out the Sonic Wall for the WatchGuard or fill in the blank, Sentinel One versus Malwarebytes or whatever it might be. Do you have a way for MSPs to navigate and sort of capture like, hey, these 10 clients have this tech stack? So you could also then see the flip side of the anomaly, like what you were describing of like, hey, look, we have an RMM tool that just showed up on an endpoint. Do you want to do something about that?
Yeah.
You're being kicked out.
Yeah. So within our warranty platform, we integrate with a variety of APIs. And again, we're vendor agnostic. So you're going to be able to see that, all right, you have 5 different end users and they're using Ninja RMM. You have 12 different end users and they're using Datto RMM. This end user over here might be using Bitdefender. This end user over here might be using Malwarebytes or Sentinel-1, and that's totally fine by us. So totally vendor agnostic regardless.
Right.
Because with us, what's important to us in order to get, you know, that proactive monitoring and instantly qualify for a cyber warranty, you need to have EDR, you need to have MFA, you need to have some form of backup.
Sure.
I don't care if it's Datto backup. I don't care if it's Veeam. You know, we just need some form of backup. And that's why we want to tie into as many tools as possible in the MSP stack.
So along those lines, if I were to leverage something like Cork, so there's then, say, some, we'll say checkboxes. There's a list of technology that I need to be able to get reflected back into a Cork dashboard to be considered for coverage.
Correct. The reason why we don't have to send you out a 50-page cybersecurity questionnaire is we're integrating with the tech stack. Now, asterisks there. Yeah, there are some minimums, right? You need to have RMM. If an MSP is not having an RMM on the client site, there's no visibility like that. That's a deal breaker.
Well, because then you're not going to see anything, right? That's one of the few. Do you have more than one then? So like it could be the RMM. It could be like these are the list of APIs we can tie into. We don't need to tie into all of them. We just need to tie into one that's actually on the endpoint.
Exactly. To have some sort of heartbeat there. So it needs to have some layer of RMM, some layer of EDR / antivirus. Now,
gotcha.
Again, you know, Webroot is fine. We work with Webroot. Some people say Webroot's an antivirus. Some people say Webroot's an EDR, but some sort of EDR, MDR, XDR, antivirus, whatever you want to call it, we need to work with.
If you've heard it on AM radio, that counts.
Yeah. We need some form of MFA and we need some form of backup. So as long as you have those 4 things, you know, that's really it. I'm not sending you a 50-page questionnaire saying, well, you know, this, that, and the other.
So do you have what's your like aha moment? Like, do you have an MSP? Like, I like the story you gave me of the one that's saying, hey, we're backing this by, do you have any other anecdotal evidence like that to share with the audience on the why this is so unique and so different to help them?
Yeah.
If they were on the fence. I mean, I don't normally do this, but like, hey, it's not very often we have someone that's like uniquely their own.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a story of an MSP I was working with last week. Here's a neat little aha moment. So an MSP, they help their client out with cybersecurity insurance questionnaires. You know, it's something that they do for free because it's a long-term customer, which is fine. customer had a $2 million cyber insurance policy today. Okay. And it was, I believe it was around a $5,000 deductible to activate that $2 million cyber insurance policy. Now the client was pushing back. Why do I need a warranty? I already have $2 million worth of coverage. That's more than enough. Well, what the MSP was able to do is during the renewal of their cyber insurance, keep it at $2 million policy. Let's upgrade the deductible. Upgrade the deductible from a $5,000 deductible to say a $25,000 or a $50,000 deductible. Okay. The annual savings that end user customer now has on their cyber insurance was a couple thousand dollars in premium savings that more than paid for the cyber warranty. So now the cyber warranty is paying out that cyber insurance deductible. If there's a breach, the MSP is now making money because they resold that warranty. So the MSP is happy and the customer is happy because they just saved a couple thousand dollars a year now.
I think that's a great example of for MSPs, regardless of whether or not you find the need to position Cork. And that is, if you're not having conversations with your clients about the questionnaires that they're filling out, then you're not part of the conversation when they make decisions that could end up booting you out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got a little bit of time left. What are some of the shows that you're going to be at here in the coming months that solution providers can check you out at?
Yeah, so we're going to a bunch of the ASCII shows. It's a fantastic community, so I'll be in Costa Mesa, California next month for the ASCII, or next week rather, for the ASCII event. I was
going to say next week, right?
Yeah. We're also
going to be a little late.
Yeah, we're also going to have a big booth at Rite of Boom in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Which is in early March, which is fantastic. And then you'll see us most likely around, say, Connect in April, IT Nation Secure in June. So, yeah, we're going to be on the road.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, I don't know if there's anything last things that you want to say. This has been excellent. I love being able to talk about insurance and not being so like doom and gloom, like, you know, like, hey, there's ways to do this and to help clients and navigate a really uncertain area of their businesses, because no one wants to pay for insurance. No one wants to have insurance. We've all accepted it. Pretty soon, cyber insurance is going to be a lot like car insurance. You have to have it to operate. And I think what you're describing really helps sort of solidify that doesn't have to be as bad as it sounds, because no one says like, hey, I don't like Aflac or I don't like gap coverage. Everybody wants to be covered, right? So, yep. Last bits to share before we wrap this up?
No, I at the end of the day, an SMB should have both cyber insurance and cyber warranty, ideally. If they don't have either and they can only afford one, I think cyber warranty is the way to go, because it's easier to get. Coverage starts within minutes and the payout can happen in a matter of hours as opposed to having to wait a long time.
Well, I think you also add to the equation with that where, you know, if someone really can't afford cyber insurance today, or they're being denied coverage, which we talked about earlier, it's an opportunity for them to start on this visualization of like the things that they need to have in place so that in the future they will be more likely to get a positive reception for cybersecurity insurance.
Absolutely.
Well, Nick, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you being on the show. For those of you listening, this has been an episode of 1337. Thanks and have a great week.